There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is MPB News.
Hi, this is Karen Brown. Thanks for checking out the Mississippi Edition podcast. If you like what you hear, click subscribe, hit like, or leave us a comment if your app has that feature. Then find other MPB podcasts by searching MPB Think Radio on your favorite podcasting platform. Thanks. Good morning. It's 8:30 on Tuesday, July 21st. I'm Karen Brown, and this is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. On today's show,
we are extending our executive orders to mitigate the damage of COVID-19.
The governor extends his executive order requiring masks and adds new counties to the list. Then a Mississippi congressman remembers the life and service of the late John Lewis. Plus, where have all the coins gone? We examine why retailers are limiting cash transactions. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. More Mississippians are now being required to wear masks when in public. In an effort to slow the spread of COVID-19, Governor Tate Reeves announced the revised and extended executive order during a press briefing yesterday.
We are extending our executive orders to mitigate the damage of COVID-19. We are adding more counties to the list of those with enhanced measures, including requiring masks at public gatherings and at retail environments at 10 additional counties. We have to take COVID-19 seriously. This virus is not going away. There are lives on the line. We extended this order for the 13 counties that we added 10 days or so ago, but we also added 10 counties. So we now have 23 of our 82 counties with a mandatory mask requirement. The counties that we added were Bolivar, Covington, Forest, Humphreys, Panola, Sharkey, Simpson, Tallahatchie, Tate, and Walthall counties. As a reminder, they joined Claiborne, DeSoto, Grenada, Harrison, Hines, Jackson, Jefferson, Madison, Quitman, Rankin, Sunflower, Washington, and Wayne County. The extension will run for 2 weeks from today. We will continue to assess in real time, and should we need to add additional counties over the next several weeks, we will make the hard decision to do so.
Mississippi saw another new single-day record yesterday with 1,251 new cases reported. State Health Officer Dr. Thomas Dobbs says the recent upward trend is putting unprecedented stress on the state's hospital system.
As you've noticed, we've had quite a run of days, over 1,000, and we see no likely let up in that for the near future. Any interventions that take place now are going to take weeks before any benefit is noted. If we look at the situation with hospitals, it's something that gives us great concern. Just as a snapshot update, one of my staff just sent me that we have now 943 confirmed coronavirus cases that are hospitalized and 293 coronavirus patients in intensive care. That puts us looking at about 40% of all of our ICU cases have coronavirus. That's a phenomenal number, and it continues to grow. Just Friday, it was only 31%. So that we're growing so quickly really tells us that we're, you know, at the verge of really pushing our system over its capacity. In large measure, we're already there. If we look at the number of hospitals that have zero ICU beds, currently that stands at 9. But if we look at the number of ICU beds available for the four largest medical centers in the Jackson metro area, there is one ICU bed currently available. So, again, very, very tight. We have 16 hospitals that have less than 10% of ICU capacity. Again, that's really kind of a pain point for us as far as ICU capacity is concerned.
Governor Reeves says it's important to begin the efforts to mitigate transmission now to relieve the pressure on the state's hospitals. He's calling on Mississippians to lean in.
We want to slow the spread now so that our hospital system, which is already stressed, doesn't get more so. We're also working on additional measures to ensure that our hospitals surge capacity when they need to. Right now, we're not getting 100% cooperation, but we're working to do better. We're working to communicate with those in the healthcare industry and ensure that they put public health first. That's where we find ourselves today. All of us as Mississippians must lean in. Those of us that get up and go to work every day and providing food for their families, we need you to do just a little bit more by wearing a mask in public. And understand, I realize this is basically month six or month seven for many of us dealing with the coronavirus. A lot of us are tired of it, but it's still here. And quite frankly, the number of cases on a daily basis, the number of hospitalizations, the number of patients in ICU beds, and ultimately the number of patients on ventilators are worse today than they've been at any time since March the 11th when we received our first case. Because of that, we've got to redouble our efforts. We've got to come together as one and make a difference.
Dobbs says without a reversing course, the hospitals could reach crisis state. And with hospitalization being a lagging indicator, the state is only now beginning to understand the consequences of the July 4th weekend.
If we don't see a decrease in transmission immediately, then it's pretty likely that the healthcare system is going to be thoroughly overwhelmed. And I know sometimes it seems like I'm doomsday, but how many weeks ago did we say that we're going to have a bunch of hospitalizations? And how many weeks ago did we say we're going to have more deaths? And how many weeks ago did we say we're going to run out of ICU rooms? I mean, it's happening. We're taking care of ICU patients in ERs every day. We've converted our ERs into makeshift intensive care units until we can find a place to put them. I got a call about sending a patient to Missouri yesterday because we couldn't find a hospital bed for a certain person in the surrounding states. I mean, this is a real situation that's affecting average, everyday Mississippians, whether you have coronavirus or not. So the main thing to do is we have to be careful. And I can't tell you how disheartening it is to get pictures and notifications from restaurants where people aren't social distancing or they're having huge parties and young people are just having fun with no masks like it's like there's no tomorrow. Social gatherings on, block parties, folks doing athletic events in large groups. I mean, we're going. There's a price for everything. There's no free lunch, and we're paying the price for what happened 4th of July right now, and we're going to pay the price for what's happening right now in 3 or 4 weeks from now.
In the week prior to the holiday weekend, state lawmakers were gathered at the Capitol daily to pass bills before recessing until the fall. Since then, 45 Capitol workers, including 31 legislators, have tested positive for the virus. Dobbs says the outbreak in the legislature is a prime example of how transmission and onset of severe symptoms manifest.
This also speaks to how the virus works. Most of the people in this outbreak caught the disease around the first week in the first part of July and are just now manifesting disease severe enough to require hospitalization or intensive care unit stay. And that's why there's such a lag. The cases that we start seeing today may not be in the intensive care unit for another 3 weeks. So, again, getting what the governor said, what we're seeing now reflects what we did 2 and 3 weeks ago. So we've got a long way to go based on the case burden that we are seeing right now as far as the stress on the hospital system. And then one myth buster for the day. I've been getting these questions about people are filling out COVID on every death certificate, or if someone dies in a car wreck, they're putting COVID just to boost the death numbers. That is not happening. Whenever we get a COVID report from a death certificate, we go back and validate that they have a positive test. Positive testing is the foundation of our reporting. There is no goosing of the numbers with deaths. The people who are dying with coronavirus are dying with coronavirus.
Despite the continued rising trend of cases and the anecdotal evidence of transmission in places like the Capitol, Governor Reeves is showing no indication he will delay the start of school. As districts release their plans for returning to campus, many are indicating they're not requiring masks. Reeves says he will review district plans prior to classes resuming.
It is my intention to receive all of the back-to-school plans by July 31, which is when they are due to the State Department of Education. There's obviously going to be 138 or 37 total plans. They're going to differ. We take great pride in Mississippi in allowing our local districts to make decisions, but I'm going to review those once we get them, and I'll decide at that point if the necessary precautions are being taken to safely return our kids back to school. There is no question, if you listen to the American Academy of Pediatricians, that there are significant risk with going back to school, but there are even more risk to kids by not going back to school. But we've got to make sure that everyone does it in a safe, responsible way.
Mississippi has reported 43,889 cases of COVID-19 since March 11th. Nearly 16,000 of those cases have been reported in the month of July. Coming up, a Mississippi congressman remembers the life and service of the late John Lewis. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
Hello, I'm Dr. Nancy Lottridge Anderson, president of New Perspectives, a fee-only financial advising firm and co-host of Money Talks. For over 10 years, Money Talks has been answering your personal financial questions and sharing knowledge about money management. Money Talks can be heard Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on MPB Think Radio. Podcasts can be found on our website, money.mpbonline.org, or on your smart device's podcasting platform.
This is Mississippi Edition. I'm Karen Brown. Congressman Benny Thompson was a teenager during the Freedom Summer of 1964, a campaign led by civil rights icon John Lewis to register black voters in Mississippi ahead of the primary and general elections. 30 years later, Thompson would take the oath of office as Mississippi's second district representative, joining Lewis in the People's House. Thompson remembers Lewis, the man and the lawmaker, in a conversation with our Michael Guidry.
John Lewis was a very humble individual who never met a stranger, was always willing to take pictures with people who recognized him, had conversations. I saw everywhere I was in his presence, people coming up to him, thanking him for the good he'd done in this country. And, you know, it just about every community that I've gone in, John Lewis has already been there speaking, doing good. So his work speaks for himself, and it's a great loss. But I believe John Lewis's legacy will live on.
I do want to ask you about that legacy for a minute, at least in the way that you served with him. You served with Congressman Lewis since you assumed office in 1994. What qualities did he bring to the House that most personified his legacy as a lawmaker?
Well, he was a very principled individual. If he believed in something, he fought like nobody's business to get it done, whether it was equal rights for women, whether it was voting rights for Americans, health care for all. John Lewis was known for his great oratory, as well as his ability to be persuasive. For the most part, when I ran for office in 1992, I got a phone call from John Lewis saying, look, I want to come to Mississippi and help you get elected. You know, that was the kind of person. I hadn't called him, but he had spent a lot of time here in Mississippi in the 60s and 70s. And he said, I've seen your record, and you're the kind of person we need in Washington. So he came, spent an entire weekend with me. We went from the bottom of my district to the top and all points in between. And, you know, John Lewis, in so many words, was a living legend, and so many people were just awestruck at an ability to just see and talk to him.
Mr. Lewis impacted, before even serving as a congressman, as a civil rights veteran and icon, served the black community in the South in heroic ways. What does his story and what he was able to accomplish in the South and in Mississippi, what does his story tell other Mississippians?
Well, if you can only imagine a teenager in the 60s going into bus stations, going into lunch counters, integrating those facilities. If you can only imagine someone during those difficult times having the courage to do it. But in spite of getting his skull fractured, in spite of having dogs sicked on him, in spite of billy clubs and other things being beat upon him, as well as spending over 30 days in Parchman Penitentiary for trying to integrate the bus station here in Jackson, Mississippi. He never, ever indicated that he was angry or carried a grudge for how he was treated. He was a remarkable person. Anyone who was treated like John Lewis was treated and not carry anger for the way he was treated, had to be a special individual. So you knew it when you met John, and, you know, his loss is great. One of the stories I saw is that he walked among kings but kept a common touch. And they said the king was Martin Luther King Jr. But he has his own history already written. And I'm just proud to have known him, served with him, and just have been a foot soldier for John Lewis and everything he stood for.
Congressman Benny Thompson, the Democrat representing Mississippi's 2nd District, thank you so much for your time and your reflection on the late Congressman John Lewis.
Thank you very much for having me.
Coming up, where have all the coins gone? We examine why retailers are limiting cash transactions. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
Hey, this is Malcolm White. I'm one of the hosts of the Mississippi Arts Hour, the arts interview show on Think Radio. Every week, we talk with visual artists, musicians, as well as people who help bring the arts to their communities. We hear about how each artist learned their craft and get some insight into their creative process. You can hear the Arts Hour every Sunday at 5 p.m. or listen anytime by subscribing to the show through your favorite podcast app.
This is Mississippi Edition. I'm Karen Brown. Exact change only. It's a phrase being seen more than usual at retailers across the state, and it's due to a breakdown in coin circulation caused in part by the weeks-long shutdown earlier this spring. Gordon Fellows is president and CEO of the Mississippi Bankers Association. He explains where all the coins have gone.
I joke that coins are kind of like the new toilet paper. it's just the next thing in the weird coronavirus supply chain world that gets a little wonky. But the issue here is it's not an issue of monetary supply. Right? We have plenty of money in the system. There are plenty of coins. It's an issue of circulation, mostly combined with an issue of you know, the mints were closed for a little while. So with all the COVID shutdowns. But for the most part, you know, 80% of the coin, total sort of coin economy is existing coins that are circulated through regular cash interactions and exchanges. But if you think about how COVID has changed the way people shop for things, you know, I can't remember the last time I used a vending machine to buy a Coke or a vending machine to buy a candy bar, right? And those are high coin, those are coin transactions, right? So the transactions have dried up. It's not that there's not enough money. It's just, it's not moving. It's just sitting in people's coin jars at their house or at their desk. In the meantime, you know, banks get their coins from the Fed or from correspondent banks who get them from the Fed, and they're being rationed until the circulation, you know, gets back to a more normal level.
Gordon, are there any states that are faring worse than others, and how does Mississippi fit into that?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think the first states I heard about this popping up in Virginia and Maryland. And then it seemed to impact Tennessee. A couple weeks after it started impacting Tennessee, we started hearing about it here. So it's a nationwide problem. I'm sure it's impacting every state in the country now. And it's just one of those sort of weird things that nobody expected.
Is there a shortage of one particular denomination over another?
Not that I'm aware of. I think it's all coins, and they're all just kind of sitting in, you know, people's houses.
So quarters and nickels and pennies are all in short supply.
That, as far as I know, yes.
How many coins are produced by the Mint each year, and is that an ongoing process?
Yes, it is ongoing. Hold on just a minute. I don't know specific numbers. I can tell you that in the beginning of 2020, there were 4 billion coins, not dollars of coins, but 4 billion coins that were circulated regularly every month. Beginning in April, that $4 billion coin circulation number dropped to 2 billion coins in circulation. So it's not a production issue, right? The mints are working now, and they're producing coins. It's just that the total volume of coins moving through the economy has decreased by a little more than half. One thing that your listeners can do to help, Karen, is if they have excess coins kind of lying around, you know, in banks right now are trying to do whatever they can to help get coins in. So,
well, who doesn't have a jug or a jar or a bag or something that they collect their coins in? I know I have a box that's full.
yeah, for sure. Me too. But I'm also not going to I'm not using parking meters as much as I used to, right? And so they're sitting a lot more than they did. So I'd suggest calling your bank. You know, all banks, most banks right now, due to the high COVID numbers, have, you know, restricted lobby access. They're trying to keep less than 10 people in at a time. So you may want to call your bank and set an appointment. But if you've got excess coins and you'd like to get rid of them, now's a pretty good time to go up to the bank and trade them for cash.
I've also seen that if you go to one of those coin change machines at a local grocery store, that you can do that as well, and that money will get to the banks. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's a company called Coinstar, and they're an aggregator. So depending on the market and the severity, there may be some changes in the fees on those too. But again, that's not a standard thing. It kind of depends on the market.
All right. Anything else we need to know?
I'd encourage the folks in Mississippi to, as they're dealing with, you know, retailers that are struggling with this, right? It's just be patient, and there's not some evil conspiracy out there to take advantage of you. It's a weird sort of complicated thing that nobody expected, and everybody's trying to do their part to get it fixed as fast as possible.
Gordon Fellows is the Mississippi Bankers Association president and CEO. Thank you, Gordon.
Thank you, Karen.
This has been Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Mississippi Edition podcast from MPB News and MPB Think Radio. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already, and if your app lets you, leave a comment or review. We really do appreciate it. Remember, you can always get in touch with MPB News on Facebook and Twitter, and fresh episodes of the podcast are posted every weekday morning. I'm Karen Brown. Thanks for listening. This is Mississippi Edition from MPB Think Radio.